Welcome to the ProWrestling.net free podcast. I'm Jason Powell, and today is May 1st, 2018, and I am here with an audio review of the WWE SmackDown Live show that aired live from Montreal, Quebec at Bell Center. And of course, it was on USA Network here in the United States. And this was a good show. I was entertained by the overall show. Once again, they didn't really sell me on this Backlash event. It's feels very much like a B-show, I guess is the best way to put it when it comes to Backlash. And how could it not? I mean, you're coming off of WrestleMania, and then say what you will about the greatest Royal Rumble in terms of the overall quality, but it was such a loaded lineup on paper. And then you turn around with SmackDown, and like the top match listed on the WWE website isn't even Nakamura and Styles. It's Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe with nothing at stake. I mean, it's not a bad lineup. I think there's a good chance that when all is said and done, it's going to be a more entertaining show than the greatest Royal Rumble was. But yeah, it's just the hype for this, it just hasn't been given enough time. You know, they were forced to kind of hype both the greatest Royal Rumble and Backlash at the same time. Naturally, they gave more hype to the greatest Royal Rumble. And with just a week to go here, I didn't really feel like they put their best foot forward in terms of delivering two strong go-home shows that really focused well on the pay-per-view. There were moments, but in this case, at least SmackDown, you know, I came away feeling satisfied with the overall show. As far as notables on the show, they had Daniel Bryan sit out. They claimed that he was not medically cleared because of the chops to the chest. They were worried about a possible infection. I'll throw that out the window because I believe he ended up working the Dark Main Event. So nothing to that. I guess they just wanted to write him off the show for some reason this week. And they continue to advertise this match with big cast, so you knew it was nothing major if there was anything to it, and would appear that it was just a storyline move. I was trying to think, like, all right, so he you could see his chest. It wasn't like cut open, so I don't know how you'd get an infection from that, but I guess I was willing to chalk it up to, well, I'm no medical expert, but it's one of those things where, yeah, WWE, for whatever reason, felt the need to write him off for the night, and so that's the excuse they came up with. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, it was just a pretty straightforward show. You did get the first Samoa Joe and AJ Styles confrontation, which we'll get into, and from a distance, don't get too excited if you didn't see the show, some good hype for the Backlash show, just not overall. You know, I guess some of the issue too is it's with the dual brand, not everyone's going to be on the show, so not every segment on these shows heading into the major pay-per-views are going to be necessarily focused on a pay-per-view match. Before we get going, I do want to give you a heads up that ProWrestling.net Live will return on Monday at 3 Central, 4 Eastern time. Matt Kuhn and I will be taking your phone calls as we are live on the air. Will Pruitt is actually going to be in China on Monday, and so he, my regular co-host, is unable to join. Matt Kuhn is the host of several different podcasts, including one that he does with Johnny Fairplay on Survivor, and also one he does with Johnny called Botch Along, and I think you can check out botchalong.com for that. And then I know he also hosts a show with Dutch Mantel, and I think there's even one more. Matt is a busy guy, and you may know the name from the Something to Wrestle With podcast with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson. He did the music for that show, and I think some of the editing and things of that nature. And he joined me recently for the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast with Jason Powell, and we had a great conversation. And I thought, hey, who better to have on to discuss the Backlash show and take calls with you guys? So that should be a fun time on Monday. Again, it's 3 Central, 4 Eastern. That one you can find at pwaudio.net or go right to our blog talk page. pwaudio.net will take you right there. And if you haven't done so already, I encourage you to subscribe to my new podcast, which I mentioned, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast with Jason Powell. We've had some great guests so far. Not going to spill the beans because the interview isn't recorded just yet. I don't want to overhype something and not deliver, but if everything goes through as expected, it should be available tomorrow, and it should be an interesting show, to say the least. Really looking forward to that. That one you can find at pwboom.com. Believe it or not, a .com coming from the .net guy. It's a weekly podcast. I've had Dave Lagana, Court Bauer, Joe Koff, and others on the show. Just incredible this last week. Brian Fritz joined me 1 week. And it's been, I think we're 5 weeks in, and it's the numbers on this have been great, so I really appreciate the support for that. But again, pwboom.com is the place to find that podcast. Now, let's get into SmackDown. I will be using Jake Barnett's review that he does live on Tuesday nights at ProWrestling.net as my outline. You can follow along if you would like. They opened things up with Shane McMahon. They showed footage of him being going through the broadcast table at the Greatest Royal Rumble. And then Paige announced that he would not be on the show. And she also said that due to their actions in Saudi Arabia, AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura would now be a no disqualification match when they meet at the Backlash pay-per-view. Miz stood in the ring and welcomed everyone to Miz TV. He's got this great villain from Karate Kid outfit with the, I don't know if it's like a leather headband that he wears. It's just so over the top and ridiculous and so perfect at the same time for Miz. And he announced that he was banning Daniel Bryan from Miz TV. He called, he said his guest last week no-showed, referring to Bryan, and he called it an outrage and an unforgivable offense. And of course, it was Big Cass who attacked Daniel Bryan. So I like this. This was a nice touch. You know, they're not ready to go to Bryan and Miz yet. They did at the house shows over the weekend. We had a good report. In fact, on Monday night, we had a good report, a couple of them, on the Miz TV and Daniel Bryan segment that they had on that show. But as far as TV goes, they're keeping them apart for now, and we'll see how long it takes to get there. But I think you could save that match for SummerSlam easily. I think people are anxious to see it, and you can, you know, if you can keep finding ways like this to string them along, I think it's going to be just something people are really going to be craving by the time they actually do it, as long as, you know, you don't want to drag it out too far. But I think SummerSlam is reasonable. Miz's guest on the show was Jeff Hardy, and he, of course, they officially announced that Jeff will defend his U.S. Championship against Randy Orton at Backlash. This was confirmed by the SmackDown broadcast team of Tom Phillips, Corey Graves, and Byron Saxton. And Miz, long story short on this, was eventually you had Randy Orton coming out, and Miz did his bit where he tries to stir the pot between them. They both saw through it, and then Shelton Benjamin ended up coming out and said that if anybody deserves a title shot, it's him. And Orton ended up kicking Shelton as he was going to get in the ring, and he set up for a draping DDT, but Miz broke that up, and then Hardy pulled Miz away and hit him with a whisper in the wind, and they went to a commercial break, and you knew what was coming next because it's SmackDown. It's not the land of opportunities, it is the land of tag team matches. And so coming out of the break, it was the team of Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy beating Shelton Benjamin and The Miz in 12:39. I thought they might add Shelton to the U.S. title match at the pay-per-view. That's why he's been kind of hanging around this whole scene with Randy Orton, and even had the distraction win over Orton, I believe it was, on television recently. But they had him take the loss here. So I don't know if they're going to have him interfere on Sunday to get out of having a clean finish between Orton and Hardy. But for now, it looks like Shelton is out of the picture anyway. Sunday, it will be Hardy versus Orton. And they did a nice job of setting this up. It looked, you know, they Orton and Hardy didn't play, you know, they didn't let Miz get to them. And Orton made it seem like they were cool. And then after this match, though, just when it seemed like everything was fine, Orton dropped Hardy with an RKO. And so just kind of your usual thing with Randy Orton, where he'll hit just about anybody with an RKO. Didn't feel like a heel turn, just felt like Orton being Orton, I guess. Renee Young interviewed the Iconics, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, and how dare they? They ended up mocking her accent, her Canadian accent, and they were, according to Renee, doing a Minnesota accent. We don't have accents here. It's the rest of the world. I keep telling people this. Anyway, Peyton said that it didn't matter because both Canada and Minnesota are garbage. Boy, about 3 weeks ago, I definitely would have agreed with her because we were covered in 2 feet of snow in April. It was every stereotype you've ever heard about Minnesota come true. But the Iconics sent Renee away, and they brought in Carmella, and they celebrated their recent success and said they would defeat Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Asuka, which turned out to be the main event of the show. They went to a commercial break, and when they came back, this is where they announced Daniel Bryan wasn't cleared due to fear of an infection on his chest. And then they went back, didn't make a big fuss over it. They went backstage where the bar ran into New Day, and they're still obsessed with pancakes. New Day introduced a butler called Booty Ward, and he brought a tray of pancakes into the picture. The bar accused New Day of lacing the pancakes with laxatives and tossed them into the air. And then Sheamus asked for a proper welcome in the form of a match. Big E got in his face and was ready for it. But he said Sheamus said he was actually talking to Xavier Woods, who accepted and said he would steal Sheamus' soul. All right. Then we went to Aiden English and Rusev. They were all smiles and having fun, doing their thing, whatever. Lana enters the picture. All three of them wearing Rusev Day shirts. Good to know that Aiden English and Rusev weren't, like, left in a casket for good. I mean, I seriously was like, why is Rusev in this match with Taker? Are they writing this guy out? You know, there's been all the talk about him asking for his release, and was this WWE's way of writing him off? Well, no. In fact, it looks like, you know, that's all completely forgotten. And it was Lana kind of telling Rusev that something's been holding him back. And Rusev didn't exactly know what she was talking about. They made it obvious by having Aiden English act oblivious as he started talking, and Lana's face kind of told the story. So, looks like there's going to be some issues with Rusev and Aiden English. Hey, if this is going to lead to Rusev getting back on track for the first time since WrestleMania 31, really cool. I just think this guy's been criminally wasted by WWE. I pick a direction for him. I think he can be, I've said for a long time, we've seen it. You know, WrestleMania 31 is proof of that before he lost to John Cena. I mean, just look at the big tank entrance and everything that led up to it. Rusev was a great, strong heel. But the fans love the guy. And so if you want to play into that, go for it, but pick a direction and do something with this guy, and hopefully this is the beginning of that. And where that leaves Aiden English, I'm guessing as a Rusev opponent to begin with, but I kind of view Aiden English as just a good, dependable mid-card role player. And so if he's not attached to Rusev, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I just think with the singing gimmick that he has, there's a place for him, and he's good at getting heat. We'll see where this goes, but I wonder if they're putting Rusev and Lana back together. Big Cass made his entrance, and they went to a commercial break, and then Big Cass delivered a promo. They ended up doing, you know, he acted like he was introducing, he called out Daniel Bryan, and they ended up having a little person dressed like Daniel Bryan come out instead, and so they did a spoof of Daniel Bryan, and then Big Cass introduced the little guy as being from Montreal and had him take a bow to, I guess, three different, he didn't bow to the stage, but he bowed to the other sides of the arena. And then after he finished the third one, Big Cass gave him a big boot. And it got some heat. He got some boos for this. I was, you know, just kind of rolling my eyes at the little person gag. It just kind of felt like something we've seen WWE do so many times before. It just didn't do much for me. But the thing that impressed me was Big Cass here, because for a long time there, I mean, there was a reason Enzo Amore did all the talking when he was with Big Cass, or the vast majority of it. And it's not just because Enzo was a really good talker. It's because Big Cass was pretty rough. And I mentioned it back when we were doing some of the NXT roster evaluations. Like, this guy would look into the camera and he just looked like he was a deer in the headlights. His eyes would kind of bug out and he just looked like he was afraid, even though they didn't give him much to say. Times have changed. This guy looked poised. He looked comfortable. He doesn't really carry himself like a big man, like a Kevin Nash with that confidence, or even going back to Big John Studd, he's a little more animated in things like you would expect from, it felt a little different because you're not used to seeing it from a guy his size doing things, to taking the approach that he was. Not that it's a bad thing, but it did kind of stand out. But yeah, I'm really impressed with the confidence he showed here. So even though the actual segment didn't do a lot for me, his confidence did. I think this was an encouraging segment for Big Cass. Then we ended up with Renee Young in the ring interviewing AJ Styles. And the idea was that he was supposed to apologize, according to Shinsuke Nakamura. And AJ talked about how Nakamura seems more interested in his jewels than the WWE Championship, so they had to work in a nut joke there. And then Renee told AJ that Shinsuke demanded the apology, and Styles said that he should have left him in the Arabian Desert. And Styles said he ruined his WrestleMania, took Styles versus Bryan away from the WWE fans, and tried to take out one of his friends. And Styles said he can break the rules too, and it's eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth as far as he's concerned, referring to the no DQ stip that they've now added to this. Renee Young ended up asking if he was going to make an apology, and Styles said if Nakamura wanted one, he could come get one. Well, Samoa Joe's music hit instead. And Joe stood on the stage while Styles was in the ring, and he told AJ that he should be looking to see what happens between him and Roman Reigns on Sunday, and he did type that match a little bit, and then he said that he would prove Roman Reigns as a failure, and then whether it was Nakamura or Styles after Sunday, he was coming for the WWE Championship. Nakamura's music hit. Joe turned around looking, you know, expecting him to attack him from behind, but instead Nakamura showed up in the ring and delivered yet another low blow on AJ Styles. But I mean, it was well done, the whole thing. The crowd, I think there was actually a TNA chant, believe it or not. And this went well. You know, it was cool to see Joe and Styles, even from a distance again. There's so much history there. I was happy they didn't rush right into this in WWE because, quite frankly, we'd seen it so many times in TNA that I think I felt like it needed a little bit of space. And they've given it that. And now I'm anxious to see it again. And yeah, for that matter, I'm really looking forward to Styles and Nakamura on Sunday. You know, WrestleMania was a disappointment. I felt like the pay-per-view match or the greatest Royal Rumble match they had was better, aside from the finish. And now on Sunday, I'm curious to see how this goes. I do think there's a chance that we see a new champion crown with Shinsuke Nakamura. That no DQ stipulation is interesting. You know, are they also telegraphing that, maybe not? I mean, you could, with Joe coming out and approaching, you know, Styles. I mean, I know he said he'd go after either, but it just doesn't seem like WWE style to have Joe go after Nakamura when they're both heels. But it could also be that we're going to get some triple threats. I can't rule that out either. So, but we'll see where this goes. But that's a match that I'm definitely looking forward to on Sunday. Then we had Becky Lynch backstage apologizing to Asuka for costing her the match last week. Asuka told her to forget it because they needed to focus on the match they had here. Charlotte entered the picture and said she would take her championship back on Sunday, but she needed to teach Carmella some respect on this show. And Becky told her not to be a hero because they needed to have each other's backs because Carmella and the Iconics are shady. And then Asuka ended up referring to them as the Avengers, saying they're the Empress, the Queen, and Straight Fire. And they went to a commercial break. Coming out of the break, it was time for the second match of the show. And it was Sheamus losing to Xavier Woods in 8:23. Kofi Kingston ended up causing a distraction. And Woods ended up rolling up Sheamus for the win. There's nothing wrong with the match. The match was fine, even solid, even good. You know, it just was, I don't know, I'm just bored by New Day now. It's the same bit with the pancakes week in and week out, and I've never really understood what their pancake fetish is even all about. I know they said it goes back to some lumberjack match, but it just isn't doing anything for me. And it's not like I just dislike New Day completely or anything. It just feels stale. And with Sheamus and Cesaro coming off that scenario where they lost the titles on Raw and then failed to regain them, they feel a little bit flat too. And I don't know that putting these guys into a program right away where they're feuding over nothing, there's no titles at stake or anything like that, is really the best thing for either team right now. I'd still like to see Big E kind of take that singles plunge. He can still be a member of New Day, but it would just kind of be a fun twist. And, the team I'd actually like to see Sheamus and Cesaro feuding with is a team that I don't think we're going to see them working with anytime soon outside of, you know, triple threats and four ways, the Bludgeon Brothers. I think Sheamus and Cesaro are best when they're presented as just a badass tag team, and we don't see that often enough. Maybe we'll get there, though. Maybe that's kind of the idea. I don't know. But, nothing wrong with the match. It's just I'm not into New Day right now. Then they went backstage where Paige was approached by her former Absolution mates. And the idea here was they wanted a title match right away, but Paige let them know that they had to earn their keep. And she even informed them, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, that is, that Absolution is dead. And she also told her that Mandy Rose would inform Mandy that she would face Becky Lynch on next week's show. So I guess this is their way of wrapping up Absolution. They easily could have kept referring to the two women as Absolution. I hope they just split up and, you know, they don't have to feud. They don't have to do anything like that. But it just, like, how many teams do you need on SmackDown when there's no tag titles? I mean, and maybe they're coming. I don't know. But all of a sudden, you know, you have this former Absolution duo and then you have the Iconics, and it just feels like there's probably enough depth on SmackDown at this point where you could add tag titles, but I don't know that they're going to. So, you know, I'm just ready to see them kind of go do their own thing. I don't think there's enough history between Deville and Rose where you have to have this big breakup program or anything. But, you know, we'll see where that ends up going. But I'm guessing they just wanted to kind of wrap up the Absolution thing just now that Paige is in the general manager role, and just to kind of get her away from that and not have people thinking about her past relationship with these two any longer than they need to. Then we went to a selfie-style promo with Zelina Vega hyping the debut of Andrade Almas. They wouldn't say when he would arrive on SmackDown, but they said that he would change SmackDown forever. I'm not big on these selfie promos, and this one, I mean, it was windy. It was, you know, you could just kind of hear the wind on the audio. It's just, it's WWE. You know, you have all these expensive cameras. Use them. I mean, there's a time and a place where some of these, you know, the selfie promos can work. It's not like they're all out of place. But this one, I don't even know why they felt like it needed to be these two outside by a vehicle. So, I not for me, but I am looking forward to this. I really think that people are going to be, if you're not somebody who watches NXT, I think you're going to be really impressed by this act when they get called up here, or, you know, officially. They've already been called up, and when they actually debut. Then it was main event time, the third match on the show, and it was the team of Asuka, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch defeating Carmella, Peyton Royce, and Billie Kay. The Iconics, or the, of course, is the name, with an extra I. So two I's at the start of Iconics for Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. And this was a good match. This was a nice, entertaining main event match. You know, when they announced the match earlier in the day, they were, you know, they're pretty good about having the match is advertised in advance, like you wake up Tuesday morning and they're ready to go. And this was one of them. And I can't say I jumped off the page. It was like, okay, you know, another six-woman tag match on SmackDown, big deal, because they do them all the time. And oftentimes it's just like they don't really feel like they matter. They just, they often come off like filler. And a lot of times it's parody booking where, you know, one, the babyface team will win one, and then the next week the heels will win, and nothing really gets accomplished. But this one was positioned as the main event of the show, and it was a very entertaining match. I thought the Iconics had a good outing. I thought Carmella in the ring, there was so, we had a, you know, both reports we received from the house show on Monday made it seem like she had a really rough outing. A lot of blown spots in her match with Charlotte on that show. I thought she was fine here, but I was impressed by the Iconics, and they also gave Asuka a chance to really shine, which she needed. You know, she lost the streak at WrestleMania, and then she ended up on the losing end of a tag match last week, and so this was a chance for her to shine, and she ended up applying the Asuka lock on Peyton Royce and getting the win for her team. And then after the match, Charlotte ended up staring down Carmella, who was sitting on the ramp clutching her title and looking very nervous heading into Sunday. So good hype for that match. Yeah, but I'm curious to see how Carmella does. And she had a statement on Twitter about people kind of questioning her in-ring ability and, you know, just kind of being pricks about it on Twitter. And she pointed out she hasn't had a singles match on pay-per-view since, I think she said, 2016. And she's been working hard, and people are going to be surprised. And I hope she's right. I think she's come a long way as far as her promos and things go. That is the big question mark. How is she going to do in the ring now? And so, you know, we'll throw the house show match out. That it's a house show. Not encouraging to hear, but hopefully she and Charlotte are going to go out there on Sunday and have a good match. And it's one I'm looking forward to. For that reason. So there are some things about Backlash that I can find that, you know, maybe not, it's not the most exciting lineup, but it's one that, there's moments here and there on that show that I look forward to. I mean, for instance, even Reigns and Joe, you know, it's going to be a good match. It just doesn't feel like it matters. It's just, okay, they're one guy's on Raw, one guy's on SmackDown. And so when this is over, they just go separate ways, and, you know, it's not like there's a title at stake or a title opportunity. I hate using WWE lingo for that. Not like there's a title shot at, you know, for the winner at play or something like that. It's just a match. But you do have Styles and Nakamura. You do have this women's tag match, and there's some other things going for it. So I'm looking forward to certain matches on the show more so than the overall show itself. But you can join me for live coverage of WWE Backlash on Sunday night, beginning with the kickoff show at 6 Central, 7 Eastern time. And then the .NET members will hear an exclusive audio review. Jake Barnett and I get together after all of the WWE pay-per-view events. Well, not the greatest Royal Rumble. I flew solo on that one because, well, it happened on a Friday during the day, and Jake has this thing called work that got in the way. But he and I get together after most, I guess we'll say, of the WWE pay-per-view events with the long-form reviews of the show. A lot of times they go roughly an hour. We'll spend breaking down the WWE pay-per-view events, and so we'll get together on Sunday night for Backlash as well. If you're interested in membership to our ad-free website, all you have to do is visit pwmembership.net. That will give you all the details on how you can sign up for ad-free access both on the mobile site and the regular website. And once you do become a member, you hear a decade of audio content, the Raw review. For instance, this SmackDown show, you guys hear once in a while, you might hear an audio review on the free side, but they're there each and every week for members. Monday nights, my audio reviews of Raw go up, of course, and then it's the same thing with SmackDown on Tuesdays. John Moore handles the NXT audio reviews, Impact Wrestling review. I tend to do most of those. John joins in once in a while, gives me a little bit of a break if I've got something going with Impact. But Hayden Gleed handles the Ring of Honor audio reviews, and when it's in season, John Moore does the Lucha Underground audio reviews, and the list goes on. So just a ton of audio content available. The .NET Weekly audio show with Jake and I discussing all the news of the week. I did 83 minutes of Q&A for the members on Monday with their pro wrestling questions to begin with, and then some non-wrestling nonsense on the back end of that show. I always look forward to doing the Q&A audio show on Mondays for the members when there's not a ProWrestling.net live show. So that's just kind of gives you a taste of some of the audio content that we have available. But again, if you're interested in membership, visit pwmembership.net. And one more reminder, Monday, ProWrestling.net live, 3 Central, 4 Eastern, your calls coming out of Backlash. Matt Kuhn will be joining me. We will be taking your calls at pwaudio.net. Until next time, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Take care.